Praise God. Praise God. Oh, amazing grace.
Thanks. Thanks,
amazing grace, how sweet the sound. Redeemable. Redeemable. Boy, I like that, redeemable. This morning, for just a few moments, just a few minutes, I want to share with you, and it's such a thrill, such a privilege to be able to stand up in front of you on this Memorial Day weekend. Stand in the greatest country there's ever been. To stand near the capital of that great country, to see so many folks that are enjoying the day, so many people out on the roadways there, so many motorcycles I saw this morning. And I was amazed to see at each exit on the overpasses, there are people who pulled off in their cars. And they were standing there, and they were holding up flags, and they were waving. And I don't know how long the line of motorcycles was coming up north, but it was long. I looked north and you could see motorcycles. I looked down south, you could see motorcycles. And it was great how people just simply support what those have done for us. Amen. Amen. Workers. Workers. On Wednesday night we've been studying about working for God. We've been studying about how to dedicate ourselves to being a true servant of God. We've been learning more and more in God's Word, what God's Word said about serving. And this morning, I simply want you to look and turn to the book of James. The book of James is a very unique book. I think it's only about five chapters. And it is one of my absolute favorites in the Bible. Because to me, the book of James, it is an action. It is a challenging. It challenges you to put your faith in action. So many of the verses within this book you've heard. If we have all the faith, but we don't allow that faith to put us to work, it means nothing. As we read and we see so many phrases within this book that we've used time and time again, we realize that it's probably, and I was told one time, and I always remember that, the book of James is one that you ought to read standing up. I like that. And I said, what do you mean standing up? It says, because it is a challenge for you to put your feet to work for God. That's what this book of James is about. And even if it starts, and I'm going to start in the first chapter here, the first verse here. James, a bond servant. Remember that thing we've been studying about being bond servants? A bond servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. And I love this, that he gives you this wonderful introduction. You know what he says? He says, greetings. Now, so many of the books in the New Testament are written with any number of verses of wonderful, exciting salutations. But James decides to go to the 12 tribes, greetings. He gives you one word. He says, now, let's get to work. My brethren, count it a joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. What do we speak about this morning? The fifth verse. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation. Because it is a flower of the field, he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass, its flower fails, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. And finishing on this 12th verse, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. We ask this in Jesus' precious name, and all God's people said amen and amen. Count it a joy. Count it a joy when you are going through a trial, when you are going through a struggle, when you are going through a temptation. This author says, count it a joy. And how many, including me, we don't count it a joy. We don't count it a joy. We deal with the struggles. We deal with the issues. We deal with things, situations, things that we have no control over. And what do? We kind of shirk back a little bit. We kind of lack sometimes in our faith, fully realizing that the author here says you should start to count it a joy. Count it a joy. Because it is not so much in the situation. It is not so much in what we have to deal with. It is realizing it is our perspective on what is going on around us. So many times I see people, and especially this weekend, when you see people and you see these individuals and you see them on the motorcycles, and I tell you one thing, if you took them off that motorcycles and put them here in the first two pews of the church, you'd be scratching your head out there. You know what I'm talking about? You'd be seeing ponytails. Amen? Amen. You'd be seeing some fellas and some gals looking pretty wild out there. And I want to tell you one thing. My God does not look on that outside, but my good God looks on the intent of a heart. And it looks upon an individual who has made a decision to be thankful to those who've gone on before, giving their lives, and the families who've suffered loss. Can't bring that individual back, but I'll tell you one thing. When you realize the faith and the decision was made for an individual to give their all for what they believe in, you take comfort in knowing without a shadow of a doubt of an individual who may have lost their life doing what they were led to do. Kind of rings about those Christian tones, don't you think? Kind of rings about what we think about God and what we think about our responsibility to do what God has laid upon our hearts. And sometimes when we get kind of murky and we kind of slow down and we just kind of get moving, not quite as quickly and as smoothly, as easily as we want to. Why? Because of the things of this life. This life is tough. It was told to me that says, you know what, you're either going through a valley, you've either just come out of a valley, or you're getting ready to go into a valley. I said, boy, that doesn't sound too optimistic, does it? But so many times in life, that is true. We have things that we have to deal with. We have decisions that we have to make that we don't even want to make the decision. I like it when I go in and eat. Somebody invites me. I go sit down and they bring the food out and sit on the plate. You know what I don't like sometimes when they ask, what would you like to eat? Oh, that's way too many decisions to make. Somebody, you ever seen one of those menus they bring out to you and it's got so much in it, you just don't know what to pick. It all looks good. And I know if you're like me, the thing that I want the most out of the menu is not what I order, just what somebody sitting across me ordered. I look at it and I said, boy, I sure wish I'd have got that. Huh? Anybody know what I'm talking about out there? It seems to me they give me that menu. I read down the whole thing. I make this poor choice. They bring out something, and Terry Lee's go, man, I wish I had that instead of mine. Isn't this one of these restaurants we just kind of share? No, we don't share in this kind of restaurant. But you know what I'm talking about the decisions that you make. Sometimes you don't even want to make the decision. But God will see exactly what we need. Count it a joy. My brethren, count it a joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. First of all, count it a joy. Secondly, whenever we have a decision to make, whenever we have something that is placed in front of us, whenever we have that challenge, the first and the foremost thing that we can possibly do is ask our Heavenly Father for wisdom. Those of us that are a little more seasoned, you're seasoned tomorrow. You're a little closer to being seasoned tomorrow. Those of us a little more seasoned in years have been around this thing we call church, has known the Lord Jesus Christ as personal Savior for a longer time. We start to realize that so many times the decisions that we make, the things that we choose to do, we simply need to be led of God to do that. I still serve a supernatural God. I serve a God that can make the decision even before I realize that the question was even placed to me. He is working pieces in my life, working things because He is concerned about the best thing for me. In this area, more than any other area that I know of in the country or any other time, we are busy. We are busy. And it's not that we make choices that are wrong choices. We simply get so busy making choices and doing things that sometimes we miss out on that best opportunity because we're simply busy doing things. Do this if you know what I'm talking about. Yeah, we get busy doing things, when God wants us to prepare ourselves and make time for that best thing for Him. I love this sermon because I am the most guilty one of all. I love when I'm preaching and I'm preaching about me. I might run down the altar here before the thing's over like this on the path that I'm traveling on here. But you know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. And there are times when what we should be doing and the priority that we should make in our lives becomes clear. And say, God, sorry. I'll try to get it right. I'll try to get it more in line on what you would have me to do. If we count it a joy and we ask for God for wisdom, then you got to believe. You got to believe. You got to fully trust in what God's word says about you and about me. Somebody said one time, says, you know, Charlie, you do a lot of these sermons, they're an awful lot alike. And I go, amen. You know why? Because it's what I believe. It's truly what I believe. And I'm a type of individual that you have to tell me over and over and over again. And then a little bit of it starts to settle in as you tell me over and over and over again. It's time for dinner. Have you washed your hands? Come on, I heard that for, I don't know, good been 15, 16 years. And guess what? I'm 55 years old, and I still hear it when I go to my parents and sit down to the table. Have you washed your hands? Over and over. Now, that may seem very silly to you, but to me, I think it's a beautiful way that we learn. Because when I read my word in front of me, I hear the things that my God is telling me, and he is saying them over and over and over again, trying to allow me to form habits, things that I can count on, reactions to things that will happen in my life. And if I've been there and I've had the opportunity to make that correct decision and truly believe, truly by faith, believing in God's word, it's amazing how he will simply see you through. I have something. And I want to read it to you. I thought this was cute. You don't think it's cute, don't tell me. I thought it was cute. And get in your mind thinking about truth and thinking about justice in the decisions we make. It is said that over 70% of the lawyers in the world practice in America. That's not going to surprise you too much, I don't think. We got plenty of lawyers. And with a majority of all the lawyers in the world practicing here in America, you think we'd make always the right decision. And it goes on to tell those stories that you read about and you hear about. A burglar fell through a skylight while robbing a school. His attorneys charged that the school was negligent and he won $260,000 in damages. There was a man in Massachusetts who stole a car from a parking lot and then he tragically died in an accident. His estate sued the parking lot for allowing him to steal the car and won. In San Francisco, a cab driver corralled a mugger by pinning him to a wall with his taxi. And the thief ended up with a broken leg, so the jury ordered the cabbie to pay the crook $24,595 for using excessive force. There was a lady who claims that she lost her psychic powers after being injected with a dye during a CAT scan. She was awarded nearly $1 million in damages. Yeah. Somebody said it's a wonder why she didn't foresee the problem and avoid the scan altogether. She was such a good psychic. And these things, they seem very silly, don't they? But these are all true. We get people who are looking for truth and wisdom in this world. And true truth, true wisdom comes where? It comes from God. It comes from me opening my word, asking my Heavenly Father to allow God's word that I read to be placed within my heart so that the distance from my heart up to this old head, I can draw closer. So when that decision needs to be made, my mind can choose what my heart is leading me to do. Truth, truth and wisdom. And then I can rejoice in the trials that come my way. We're going to close and let you go out there and enjoy, whether you've got burgers on the grill or what you may have, a time to go visit friends, family, simply a time to enjoy whatever God has laid upon your heart. But I believe that the truth and the wisdom we find in God's word, it allows each and every one of us to be redeemable. Redeemable. Thank you, Jan, for that little thought this morning. Redeemable. Redeemable. I believe it. And I believe that God has challenged us to stand up for truth and what we believe. Stand up for a country. And I know that people are saying things about this country and, oh, it's election year. Boy, do I love election year. Woo! we. I love the election year, especially the day when it's over. Because I tell you what, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. But my God is still going to be on the throne. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house. We had lifted praises up unto your name, God. We have done our best to try to remember those that made such sacrifices. So, Heavenly Father, allow us to continue on in fellowship in a spirit of thanksgiving and appreciation for those around us. Be with families as they gather. Let us be respectful of the great flag that we fly today, God. Allow us to simply know that each one of us has been found redeemable by the blood of the Lamb. So, Heavenly Father, give us safe traveling mercies as we leave your building. Allow us to once again come back and share the praises of your name. We ask this in the precious name of Jesus, and all God's people said, amen, amen.